place of public accommodation or redefining it with additional language is unnecessary and should be deleted. In view of the new language to be submitted to the committee by the Bureau, I appreciate the indication from your staff that I will be notified when the bill will be heard again, and I would request the opportunity to testify again on any new language of proposed amendments.
Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate your coming forward. Are there any questions for Mr. Castagna? If not, thank you, and
thank
we will
you.
Keep you notified on this bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Marilyn, do you want to come up and see if you can deal with Senator Jernstad's question about what does advantages mean in the bill?
For the record, I'm Marilyn Coffle from the Bureau of Labor and Industries, Senator Hendrickson, Senator Jernstad. Senator Jernstad, as far as I am able to interpret the word advantages, that would mean giving someone preferential treatment over another person on the basis of some and discriminating against any protected class, whether that would be an advantage given to someone because of their sex or their race or their religion or a dissident. Or in terms of basically what it would be making, it would be holding someone almost at a disadvantage rather than an advantage, so perhaps.
Well, considering this is a statutory definition, could you give us a concrete example of some place of a public accommodation that offers advantages to people? I mean, could you put it, it's easier for us, I think I know it is for me, to think of some kind of concrete example rather than an abstract where a private or a public entity, I guess under this bill, would be offering advantages that are not something that is not a good or service.
Senator Hendrickson, I'm really afraid that I could not do so. I can get the committee one from the administrator of civil rights, but I would hesitate to make up something hypothetically, lest
well,
it be.
Well, I assume that the language would have been put in there if there wasn't a concrete situation that was trying to be addressed. And as you know, the courts have defined goods and services very, very broadly. So I just don't understand if the word advantages has something to do with the fact that you've now brought in a public entity and that this language needs to cover something that wouldn't be covered under the goods and services. So maybe when you're considering your amendments, if you could supply at least the chair some information about that in terms of that.
I'll be glad to research that. That is present language.
Advantages?
Yes.
Well, it's in boldface here. Is that? I see. It's reciting something from the up in the first paragraph. Okay. Well, perhaps it's just a redundant in terms of whether. I'd be interested to see if they have ever the court interpreted that. If that's in some way different than other things of a goods and services.
Senator Hendrickson, I will talk to Johnny Bell and some line staff and see if we can't get that clarified with some history for you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. When do you, you're going to be submitting some amendments to this bill to the administrator?
Yes, I believe that I should have those amendments to the committee administrator either on Wednesday or Thursday of this week.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else that's here to testify on Senate Bill 41? Hearing and seeing no one coming forth, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 41. Mm-hmm. And we will open the public hearing on Senate Bill 38, which is a bill dealing with the Wage and Hour Commission. And Cheyenne, do you want to give us a brief summary of this bill?
Yes. We're in a new chapter of the ORS again. Senate Bill 38 amends ORS Chapter 658, and the first part of that chapter concerns employment agencies. This chapter requires that private employment agencies obtain a license from the Bureau, and to do so they have to provide certain background information and meet certain bonding requirements and so on. I believe last session we did have a change to cover career counselors under this chapter, and the bonding requirement was increased, but that's about all the changes that went through last session in this particular section of the ORS. The bill proposes amending 658.095, which provides for expiration and renewal of licenses. The date for renewal would be changed from the end of the year to the middle of the year. And the transition would be accomplished by having each licensee pay half a year and then go back to a full year rather than paying a year and a half all at once to make the transition. We have received a statement from the Legislative Fiscal Office stating there's no fiscal impact on this bill.
Okay. Marilyn, do you want to testify?
Senator Hendrickson, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Marilyn Coffle from the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Senate Bill 38 has been proposed to deal with two issues. We are proposing the license year be changed from a calendar year to a fiscal year basis, and that we correct an oversight. First, the proposed change in the license year will enable the wage and hour division to more efficiently not handle only the renewal, of PEA licenses, but also the renewal of farm and forest labor contractor licenses. The renewal of some 90 private employment agency licenses during the same time period as the renewal of 420 plus farm and forest labor contractor licenses has been proven to be a very difficult task for our staff. Currently, the PEA licenses must be renewed by December 31st of each year, and the farm and forest labor contractors be renewed by January 31st of each year. The process usually begins in October and continues through March. Packets are mailed to all licensees. In the last 2 years, we've been required to employ temporary help during the licensing period, and this extra help was required even though we had a 0.5 FTE clerical specialist granted by the E-Board in April of 84. We'd asked for a full-time clerical, but we're given a half-time. As you may remember, Senate Bill 525 that affected farm and forest labor contractors was basically responsible for the large increase in our licensing demands. The shift in the licensure and the addition of a 0.5 FTE clerical specialist, which we are going to be requesting as a part of our budget process this year, would enable us to enact our licensing in a more timely basis without having to go outside the agency and employ temporary help. We believe this change is part of a plan that will help us to be more efficient and hopefully more cost effective. Even if we don't get the 0.5 FTE, the change in the licensure is really necessary to have a balanced workload in the division. You will note Section 1 of this bill achieves this purpose, and Section 3 of the bill would implement the change by first licensing private employment agencies for a six-month period, January 1, 86 to June 86, at half the statutory fees. And then the first full licensure under this proposal would begin July 1, 86. And we do not contemplate an increase or decrease in expected revenue. And the second matter addressed in the bill on line 14 would correct an oversight. Prior to 1981, 658172 spoke to requirements to be included in job referral documents and job applicant contracts. And then during the 81 session, these requirements were separated in statutes with 658168 referring to contract requirements and 178 to job referral requirements. And unfortunately, there was an oversight and we left a reference to contracts in 172. And so the proposed change would make the proper reference by deleting the word contract on page 1, line 13, and inserting the words job referral document.
Would this, is there another provision of statute that requires the private employment agency to give the person a copy of the contract they signed with them? I think it's important that people do get copies of the contract.
I'm assuming there is, but I can't answer that, Senator Hendrickson. I know that they are given a job referral document that lists their, you know, the name, address, as it outlines here on lines 2 through 14 through 28.
Well,
it does list the hours of work.
No, but usually the disputes people have with private employment agencies, how much you're supposed to pay them after they get the job. Is this job referral document, does that include their contract? In other words, how much they have to pay the private employment agency?
The job referral document does list what salary they are accepting and what other anything that's outlined as far as the hours of work and their place of employment.
But it doesn't say what they have to pay the private employment agency.
No, I don't believe it does. I think that's probably in the job contract rather than the job referral.
Well, the thing I'm concerned about, and Cheyenne's looking at it now, is as a matter of public policy, I think it's important that the private employment agencies be required to give people that are purchasing their services a copy of the contract. And all I'm concerned about is when we delete this language, I want, before I'm willing to vote for it, I want to make sure that there's another part of the statute that requires the private employment agency to give the person a copy of the contract. If this is just simply, if that's someplace else in the statute, then I don't have any problem with that. I just want to find that out before we
Okay. Senator Hendrickson, in line 22, it does say that the job referral document has to state the amount of the fee to be charged and collected from the applicant if the applicant accepts employment, and a statement the employer is not responsible for paying the fee. But I will talk to Mr. Tiffany and find out whether or not that is so.
Yeah, there may be another, and I just have not reviewed the statute, there may be another provision someplace else in that chapter that requires private employment agencies to give copies of their contracts to their customers.
Madam Chair?
Cheyenne?
I believe that there is a requirement that each contract, this is in the previous section of the ORS, one copy shall be given to the applicant and the other shall be kept in file with the agency. But I'm having difficulty finding out if any charge or fee exactly what has to be included in the contract.
Okay.
It would be helpful if you could look at that, 658.168.
168.
And it's followed by the 172.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Starkovich?
Have you given to the applicant?
Maryland, on the 30th of June of a given year, is the license in effect or has it already expired?
They would expire that as of that date. After that date, it would be expired.
So
after June 30th.
On the 30th itself, the license would still be
yes,
in effect.
Yes, until 12 o'clock that night.
Okay. Well, this reads it shall expire on June 30th, but then the application for renewal shall be made before July 1st. It seems like you could read that to say that on the 30th of June the license has expired, and you conceivably could have a situation where they went a day without a license.
Okay.
Just nitpicking, but it looks like you can read it that way.
Okay. Senator Hendrickson, Senator Starkovich, I will have that reviewed by staff.
Okay, thanks.
Senator Hamby.
I have a somewhat of a concern. I can readily agree that it would smooth the workload for the division. But following up on Senator Starkovich's question, recognizing the looking at the potential impact in the field, so to speak, just even the field licensure, you're in the height of activity in the end of June, and certainly for you to stop and think and relicense yourself, etc., it carries a much greater impact on those on the outside than it would be if the date were to remain in the more quiet months of December. Do you agree?
I see what you're saying. Is that they might hit them in their
The height of the season, and certainly for the fields.
Mm-hmm. Senator Hendrickson, okay. Senator Hamby, I understand your concerns, but what is happening to us right now is that we are being hit all at once with both of the licensing dates. And if we could at least shift the PEA licensing, which is not
seasonal,
to another time of year, we believe, and Mr. Tiffany, who's head of that division, believes that we'd be able to better handle that workload and save the state some money by not having to go out and hire temporary help.
Let me just to follow up on Sarah Andy's question. So you're saying that this change, are you saying it only affects the PEA license?
Yes.
It wouldn't affect the farm?
No.
Okay. That was a good clarification.
Oh, it does not. I misunderstood that.
Well, I wasn't clear on that either, Senator Hamby, so I thought you brought up a good point. Mm-hmm. Because we don't, we just have the statute you're bringing in here, and we don't have what it relates to in terms of its regulations.
I'm sorry. I apologize to the committee, Senator Henriksen. I thought I made that clear.
Well, I think you didn't, perhaps in your testimony, but we're just following up on that.
Also
getting
a renewal of it. I apparently, Madam Chair, it was the second paragraph that led me to believe that farm and forest licenses would be impacted. The third line in your second paragraph, also the renewal of FLC licenses. But apparently...
I took it to mean that both of them be changed at the same time, too. But you're saying that this statute, which is being changed, 658.095, only relates to the PEA?
That's correct.
It doesn't relate to the farm.
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for that clarification. I think that we wouldn't want to impact the harvest season, perhaps, in our licensing. Is there any other questions? Senator Otto?
Has any thought been given to two-year licensing?
Senator Henriksen, Senator Otto, yes, there has been, but some of the employment agencies have given us the impression that we had originally drafted the bill to carry the licensing period this first time during this change for a year and a half, and we did have a request from their association that we not do that. That would be an undue hardship on them to have to come up with that amount of money for a year and a half, and that's primarily the reason we've never went to a two-year cycle for licensing.
What is the license fee?
The license fee, I believe, is, I think it's $320. I seem to have left that other piece of paper in the car. I had that written on. I will get that to you today if you would like to have that information.
Senator Starr, please.
Are there ever licenses that are not renewed?
We have currently never... To this date, excuse me, Senator Henriksen, Senator Starkovich, to this date we haven't revoked any, but we are in the process right now of taking action to take someone's license away.
Senator McCoy?
Yes, Madam Chair, how many complaints do you get a year from private employment agencies?
From the agencies or from Senator McCoy?
As a result,
if memory serves me right, it's probably fairly minuscule, about 15, 20 a year. But I will check that figure with Mr. Tiffany.
How many agencies are there?
I believe we're currently licensing 90 right now.
90?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Howe?
Is the thrust on a performance or fiscal stability of the agency, or of the private agency, in the review process?
Senator Henriksen, Senator House, in our review process, I would say that, number one, of course, they have to have a bond. And number two, yes, there is a stress on performance in terms of non-abuse of the employees or the process. They have to be able to show us that they will adhere, you know, to the standards as far as the licensing goes. And most of them, it's been a matter of education, and those people that are not prone to following the law basically go to other states. Our licensing has dropped because of our monitoring.
What stimulated the question was Senator McCoy's question on consumer complaint. I believe would probably be the genesis of some kind of renewal. Mm-hmm. The license renewal is set on, or the fee is set on the cost of the renewal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just going to go through and look at the amount of complaints, and there's no, and the submission of a bond, which is the obligation of the agency, what's going to my mind is why the $320 to renew the license, or what's the big problem in renewing 90 licenses and a half-time person?
Senator Hendricks and Senator Howe. The problem has not been so much in terms of just the renewal of the PEA licenses, but the time that they fall in, because both the PEA licenses and the Fireman Forest Labor Contractors licenses fall during the same time period. And we have not, within the division, we have not been able to process these without going out for outside help. And as to the amount and number of abuses or complaints, I would like to come back to the committee with that information as soon as I'm able to confer with Paul Tiffany in that division, if that would be acceptable.
Well, one other thing, though, when you come back with the complaints, I think we'd better find out how many of those complaints have any kind of basis to them, other than disgruntled, you know, don't come in, or you know, come in with anything you want to, but make sure that there is some action, or a tabulation of the action by the department, a follow-up on the complaints, and those that don't have any kind of basis to them, that we know those. Because, you know, you could get 100 phone calls and only one or two of them could really have some basis to it.
Okay. I'll be glad to provide you with that documentation.
Okay, is there anything further? Senator Howe, did you?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Is there any further questions for Marilyn Koppel from any of the committee members? Thank you. Is there anybody else here that's here to testify on Senate Bill 38? Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 38. Well, it looks like we've gotten through our work a little earlier than usual. That's always good news. Is there any other matter that any committee member wishes to bring before the committee? I do want to report back to you that I have prepared a letter, as you directed me to, on the attorney problem with the Bureau of Labor to send down the Ways and Means Committee, and we'll be continuing our dialogue with the Attorney General's staff. We will be meeting again Wednesday, and we'll take up the video display terminal of the bill. We're adjourned.
Let it be early than late.
Yeah, I guess that's better, isn't it?
You betcha.